The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver, the voice of the people. News Talk 710. Arm yourself for office conversation in the afternoon with Peter Boyles in the morning on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Morning, everybody. It is in the 7. It's a Thursday morning, traditional tax day, April 15th, although it's been COVID moved, but I'm sure you feel good about signing those checks, knowing where all that money goes, right? All your hard-earned bucks. Rain, snow, mixed, and 45 will be the high today. Heavy, wet snow tomorrow, 38. I have tomorrow off. Spring skiing is coming to an end, but Gary DeFranz and I get another day on the hill. Saturday is going to be rain, snow, and on Sunday it's going to come out. Sun will be there. Lie by lie, how the timeline, how we get into Iraq. And yesterday, China Joe makes a speech about it's been mission accomplished after 20 years. All the insanity. Please say good morning. One of the true best from Jihad Watch, we've met on occasion. He has been a teacher, said, go read this, go read that. I've heard him speak many times. Extremely brave guy, Robert Spencer. Mr. Spencer, good morning, man. Welcome back to Denver. Thank you.
Good morning, Peter. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think about you a lot and all the years that we've spoken, things that you've said, things that have come true. And now this. And we were talking earlier this morning with a couple of different people on the radio show, but the Joe Biden speech, which is really in a continuation of what Trump said, was we got to get out. But I loved how Joe said we've accomplished our mission. How can that be? All right, go ahead. No, he did. He said it.
The funny thing is that most people probably will hear that and not realize, wait a minute, what was the mission?
Thank you.
We're supposed to have gone in to topple the Taliban from power. We toppled the Taliban from power in what, 2003? And it's 2021 now, and we're still there. Why? What was the mission exactly?
Exactly. But then,
and so we've accomplished it? Terrific. I think it's actually the mission of defeat that we're leaving on the 11th of September. I think that whoever picked that date was extraordinarily tone deaf and doesn't realize that is practically saying explicitly, we didn't accomplish our mission.
We did nothing.
You guys won.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Well, why is China Joe choosing? And here again, this is my question I ask people like you that I respect. Do you think on his own he came up with that date or somebody else did it for him?
I don't think Joe comes up with anything on his own. I don't think he's there. I think that there are people who are making the decisions and running things, and then when Joe is feeling well enough, they put him out in front of the cameras to announce what they have decided.
You know, when we read about all these, the books that have now been written and, you know, the lies of George Bush and to get us into war and the 9/11 Commission retorts, and I mean, just on and on and on and on. And I'm watching this morning on Fox News, and they're bringing these neocons on who are attacking this decision. This was Donald Trump's decision on May 1 to get out. And do you think this, I mean, because this is how politics works and how I'm losing a lot of faith in Fox. If Donald Trump were still in office and the May 1 get out was there, do you think that they'd be lined up attacking Donald Trump? Yes, you would.
Yeah,
Liz Cheney would.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, it depends on who you mean. Yes, absolutely. The thing is that Fox has become just another mouthpiece for the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they would be attacking him. And the thing is that to say this is premature after 20 years is horrifically ridiculous. And the arguments that they make, as we have noted many times, you can make no matter what. We could stay there for another 5,000 years, and they will still say bad things will happen when we leave. Well, okay, and bad things will happen when we stay. And I think the most ridiculous argument I've heard over the last few days is that if we leave, we will be setting – Max Boot said this.
Yeah.
We will be setting back
Saigon.
All the advances for Afghan women.
You laughed. No. I know. It's hilarious. I mean, but
and people believe this stuff.
Thank
these
you.
Guys, they keep getting these foundation appointments and grants and awards and everything, and they're absolutely abject idiots.
Our guest, Robert Spencer, there's a term called generational war that historians use, but then there's the idea that Joe talked about, endless war. Well, whether the Americans are there or not, it's an endless war. Being a little history geek and reader, that's Afghanistan is an endless war. Whether the U.S. is there or not, it's an endless
that's
war.
Right.
I mean, the history of Afghanistan is a history of warfare. And so the idea of, well, it's an endless war, well, it doesn't mean anything, does it?
No, it doesn't mean anything. And you're right. The American leadership, the State Department establishment, they have an exaggerated sense of our own importance in Afghanistan. Mm. We didn't originate the conflict. The conflict will not end when we leave. It will not end if we stay.
Yeah.
And all we're doing is expending blood and treasure for nothing.
And
for the people who are profiting from selling weaponry and so on.
How much do you think any of these people, I mean, I was timelining it last night and going back lie by lie, timeline by timeline. And the earliest thing, and I've gone back to, I've got stacks of notes because we used to have great wars on talk radio about weapons of mass destruction and all the other lies. And so in 1998, the Project for the New American Century, that's the launch. It was Cheney, listen to this lineup of stars, Cheney, Scooter Libby, Donald Rumsfeld, Jeb Bush, Paul Wolfowitz, the rest of them, they demand Bill Clinton undertake the removal of Saddam Hussein. 98. And and the other part of it is there's a case now that's being made, and I'll ask you what you think, that going into Kuwait after Saddam invades was an actually United States of America doing the bidding of the multinational oil corporations. Do you believe that, Mr. Spencer?
Yeah, I think that if Kuwait had gone into Iraq, had become a province of Iraq, what really, how exactly are the American people going to suffer?
Thank you.
From that? And, you know, there are wars, there are conquests. This kind of thing is a constant of human history. It's not the American people's responsibility
no.
to prevent that
yeah.
or to prevent some people from being oppressed. People are oppressed all over the world. We simply don't have the resources to solve everyone's problem.
Right.
And you're right. The people who were profiting from that were the people who were going to see Saddam Hussein or the Iraqi oil interests take over their own holdings or threaten their own holdings.
And they
know. That's really what it was all about.
Yeah, no. I mean, I really firmly believe it, that was a war for the multinational oil corporations. And interestingly enough, to keep – and I remember they sold it, and I've been reading quite a bit about how that – the U.S. media at the time under Poppy Bush, how they sold that, and they made stuff up, and they had people testifying that were really children of the royal family, the Saudi families, and they were portrayed to be Kuwaitis and going into the into the hospitals and the Iraqis ripping babies out of incubators and smashing them on the floor like firewood. And it was all total lies, made up lies. But what happened when the United States starts to bomb Baghdad on the invasions, this on W's invasion, children in incubators did die. And it's just lost in this great massive series of lies. But I don't even know how to deal with it anymore, Mr. Spencer. I legitimately don't.
Well, there's one thing that is positive, and I look, nobody around me says, oh, you're a sunny optimist.
yeah.
But one thing that I have to acknowledge is that we're even able to have this conversation yeah. is something that a few years ago, all this was going on, and we didn't know about most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And more is coming out. And so I think that ultimately the hegemony of these people is not going to be able to be sustained because the record of their perfidy will be so clear and unmistakable that there will be a reaction to it. At least I hope so.
Here's a lousy question I posed to myself. Did the United States of America start a war that actually cost over cost trillions of dollars, killed hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, destabilized a region, and helped create the Islamic State to do what? To prove a point? I mean, what was this? I mean, first of all, is that a true statement?
Yeah, I think so.
I do, too.
I mean, if you're talking about the second war, it's because of the first war, and to finish the job and to get back at Saddam Hussein for attacking the father of the sitting president at the time.
Yeah, if that's true.
And the first war, as we just spoke about, was for the oil industry.
But I was trying to capsulize this, and I mean, it must be, I mean, to me, it's sickening. I don't know if it makes people uncomfortable. Millions of Iraqis, the Bush administration spent their blood and their treasury, as you just pointed out, a war that was inspired by what? And did our country, and I believe certainly we did, start a war that has cost trillions of dollars, killed hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, God knows how many Afghans, destabilize this region, create the ISIS people, the state, and Saddam, I've read books that suggest Saddam was good for 40, 45,000 jihadis. He just killed them. If they showed up, he murdered them. That was it. Get out of here. And is it more the Bush administration used the WMDs as cover? There were no WMDs. All this fear-mongering, all the lies. I mean, I tell you what, Mr. Spencer, I legitimately look at this stuff, and I'm already hearing from people this morning on email that this is not, none of this stuff is true. It's true, isn't it?
Well, I'd like to see some evidence that it's not.
Well, that's it. Evidence is important in history.
Yeah, this is true. Many things have been done on the basis of claims that were not substantiated. This is something, you know, maybe I should write a book about this. It's an interesting thing because you go back to even the Mexican War, and Abraham Lincoln, as a congressman in 1848, introduces resolutions asking Polk exactly where was American blood shed on American soil such that we have to fight Mexico. And the resolutions did not pass, and the whole thing was ignored, but it was a legitimate question. And you can say the same kind of thing about the blowing up of the battleship Maine in the Havana Harbor. Was that a deliberate action by Spain, or was it a an accident that was exploited by the elites at the time? And, you know, it seems like a lot of the wars we've gone into have been on false pretenses.
The Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, 1964, the Maddox and the Turner Joy, they were never attacked.
That's a notorious example.
They were never attacked.
There you go.
They were never attacked. You know, Pancho Villa crossing into New Mexico, and so, the stories of Jack Pershing and Patton, you can read all that stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm a reader of Gibbon and reader of Decline of Empire, and the U.S. becomes empire, and these generational wars in our lifetimes, yours and mine, and now we watch all the insanity in the streets, and this is Gibbon coming true in this country, the fall of Rome, the fall of the imperial state, and now honest to God, Mr. Spencer, I really legitimately see this playing out again.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Look, we're spending our blood and treasure, as we've been discussing, in Afghanistan. It looks like we're probably going to go back to Syria. Biden's people just actually increased our troop presence in Germany.
Yes,
in Germany. Because they're still claiming that Russia is some threat, and now they're going to antagonize Russia so much that we may end up in war with them, and we're woefully unprepared for that, and depleted after 20 years of these misadventures, and so all this is continuing to go on while we cannot even pacify Minneapolis and Portland.
Yeah. Robert
so,
Spence.
It's not going to be, the outcome is not going to be good.
Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch, Peter Boyle, 710K in U.S., Barbara Tuchman's legendary history book, The March to Folly, and then the Guns of August. And I'm revisiting her, and, you know, First World War, this sounds crazy. It's an accident. It's all the egos and macho thoughts and puffing of their chest of the crown heads of Europe. and millions of people die. And yep. I got to look at W, and I think to myself, he's appearing this weekend on, I don't know, CBS or somebody, sitting down with him, and he's talking about his only regret that he has is he didn't get the pathway to citizenship for all these illegals in this country. Not a word about Iraq. Not a word about Afghanistan. And he's down in Crawford, Texas, and he becomes like this weird Grandma Moses character. But this is called cementing your legacy. And his now it's politically correct, it's social justice warriorism, that this despicable man is allowed to do that, and he'll cement his legacy as a guy who really wanted citizenship for illegals, nothing to do with Iraq, nothing to do with Afghanistan. And it's allowable. It's allowable.
Well, it's allowable because everybody on the other side is all in favor of the same thing.
Thank you.
It was only Trump who was the cross-current who was opposed to all this interventionism. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm convinced that this was maybe the primary reason why they had to destroy it.
Mm-hmm. No, we talked about it. They set out, I mean, I don't believe that it was stolen, but there was a concerted effort across the boards, the foreign policy people, the neocons, the foreign policy establishment, the media, sports, academia, Hollywood, I mean, get on corporate America. They needed him to go, and he also sold them the rope. And
yes,
I think this, I mean, they're all, I mean, all these guys are on Fox, and your point's so well taken about Fox. And I think Donald Trump set this was his agenda. May 1, we're out of there. And they were dealing with the Taliban. They weren't even dealing with the government in Kabul. And now, oh, no, we can't go. Well, if Donald Trump were president, would you have the heart to be to stand there and say that? And the answer is no, of course not. I don't know.
Well, there's no doubt he was roundly criticized when he said we were going to go. And it was the same arguments that we've heard for so many years, that if we go, the Taliban will be resurgent and people will suffer and so on, as if they won't suffer if we're there.
That's what they sold in Southeast Asia. If we cut and run, it's Thailand next. No, it isn't. No, it wasn't. You know, it's the who lost China, as though China were ours to give or lose or win. It's not true. None of it's true. And if this is who they want to be there, and you know, they're reading the history of Afghanistan, reading the history of Pashtuns, nobody ran that show, did they?
No. Well, that's why they call it the Graveyard of Empires.
And yet, you know, when you read those histories, and remember they were talking about mushroom clouds and how many people all those great names that come back, but you really go to Cheney and Bush and Rumsfeld and what they did to this country and what they did to other countries.
It's not going to come out probably for decades, but eventually I hope that the true history of the first 20 years of this century will be written.
And boy,
people will see the incredible betrayal and villainy that was at the highest levels of U.S. government.
Really, that's so well said. Robert Spencer's here. That is so well said. They were villains.
Yes.
And they got away with it.
And now we've practically have an entrenched kleptocracy. I mean, I think it's extraordinary that the wealthiest counties in the United States are all in Northern Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
It's because it's all bureaucrats, and it's incredibly big business to be in government. And so they're in government to line their pockets. They're not in government for the service of the people. That's all just pie as window dressing.
I read this piece Sunday afternoon on the wealth now of former presidents. Bill Clinton's wealth is estimated at $170 million. Hillary's at $130 million. Neither one of them ever had a job in the private sector.
Yeah, and they get these. They get this. It's money laundering is what it is.
Of course it is.
They do something for somebody. They give access to somebody. They give a favor, some legislative favor to somebody, something like that, and they get paid.
Yeah.
And they get paid in the form of some absolutely outstandingly extravagant speaking fee, you know, $100,000 to give a talk for an hour.
Yeah.
And this happens all across the board. As a matter of fact, I forget who the appointment was, but it was one of the Biden appointments, and they asked Psaki about it. How is it that this person gets these $100,000 speaking engagements? And she said, oh, she deserves every bit of it for her expertise and hard work. And really, it's bribes is what it is.
Other than when Hillary's working at the Rose Law Firm, which is a whole other story in itself, Bill Clinton never had a private sector gig. His estimated net worth is like $150 million, give or take, and she's $130 million. So between them, that's like $300 million. What job did either one of them ever hold that would they could earn $300 million? I can't come up with.
And yet nobody ever investigates. Nobody ever says, "Hey, is there any illegality here?
Yeah,
any graft?"
It's true.
I remember back in the 90s when he was president, reading about how Hillary Clinton made a killing on the stock market to an extent that even the most experienced stockbrokers have never done. And nobody ever investigated, of course, because they've got all those people in their pocket that might have called them to account for it.
Or done the same things. And that guy's name was Starr. It was Whitewater. And that guy's name was, why does this work for me? Red Bone. Red Bone brought in all those deals and guys that do it for a living. And she was in the Rose at the time. And guys that did it for a living went, wow, you know. And it was, I think it was like cattle futures or, and I'm trying to work off the top of my head. But
and
it was,
she said, oh, I did it by reading the Wall Street Journal carefully.
She, Mr. Spencer, and I mean, and they made like tonnage. And there's all those great stories where they're in the cars and then the one guy, I can't remember his name, but he was the dope connection for Bill Clinton's brother and according to Jennifer Flowers, Bill Clinton, the cocaine connection. And then he came out of prison, and Bill Clinton pardoned him. And they asked him why, and Bill Clinton said, because he needed to get a hunting license. I'm going, man, of course.
And nobody ever goes beyond, of course, because they're all on the same side.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what that guy's name was. But he was the dope connect for Bill Clinton's, you know, WT brother, Roger, and according to Jennifer Flowers, Bill Clinton. And they walked that guy. He shook a little time, but hey, they got him a deal. He's back in the game. You and I are idiots. We're both idiots. You know that, Mr. Spencer. We're just like...
Yeah, I should have joined the left. Joined the Democrat Party. We'd be millionaires by now.
Nobody better. Robert Spencer, Jihad Watch. Leave us with something this morning about... all of this. It's time to end the forever war, China Joe. Final thoughts.
Well, there's no doubt, but I'll tell you something. I wouldn't be in the least surprised if we don't make this September 11th deadline and he finds some excuse for his people, that is, find some excuse during the summer months to extend our stay.
Yeah. And then choosing that date, it's like choosing December the 7th. I mean, I'm stunned.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll talk, I'm sure, next week, Mr. Spencer. Thank you, as always, for your time. Thank you, sir. Give the website, if you would, please.
Jihadwatch.org. Much news you will not find anywhere else about jihad activity.
Thank you, sir. All right, open lines, 303-696-1971. Michael Roberts from Westward. We're going to talk about the internals at Channel 9. April could turn out to be the game changer for mortgage rates. The economy's hopefully getting better. Rates continue to inch up. There are fewer options in the twos right now. You got a last chance to grab one. Please don't put this off. American Financing right now. Take advantage of the free mortgage reviews and see how you qualify. Hundreds or thousands of dollars in monthly savings. Do it now before you miss out on the record low rates. There's no obligation, no pressure, no upfront or hidden fees. You just got to take a look at your current loan and find ways to save big money. American Financing today, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. Apply online, AmericanFinancing.net, 303-695-7000. Call them this morning, please. NMLS 182-334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
News Talk 710, KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Peter Boyles, News Talk 710, KNUS.
Lines are wide open, and it's open lines, 303-696-1971. Thursday, snow late. Tomorrow, heavy, wet snow. It's a spring snow. It'll be good for the lawns, good for the trees, good for everybody. Rain, snow on Saturday. Sunday, the sun peaks out. And next week, we got rain coming back and doing it again. It's springtime in the Rockies. Jimmy's got the con tomorrow morning. I have the day off. Meet Gary D. We're going to go ski. coming to an end of ski season, too. So it is, but though the snow is going to be good, so we'll do that. Your thoughts about Iraq this morning and Afghanistan and Joe Biden and choosing the date of 9/11. Overall, the media, we're talking about things in general. And again, reading about how the Clintons, how much wealth the Clintons have. And it's like, you know, it's stunning. Neither one of these people, I think she, Mrs. Clinton, was a private sector attorney in the infamous Rose Law Firm in Little Rock. Short of that, they never had a gig. How do you get all that dough? Lyndon Johnson was the same way. How'd you get all that dough? The Obama's got a lot of dough. How'd you get a lot of dough? How'd you do that? Trump, you know, I mean, Trump, do with that as you say, you know, he's got to make his own dough. The Kennedys had their own dough. I saw when I was in Florida, I saw where Nixon lived. He was a lawyer off and on, private sector guy, but no great shakes. How do these guys do that? The Clintons of all people, man. I mean, Bill Clinton's like this WT kid from Little Rock, although he's not from Hope. Remember they lied, the man from Hope. No, he wasn't. All right, our friends at Urban Lights, they are Colorado's largest lighting showroom. Actually, looks like an art gallery, 20,000 square feet, new lighting designs monthly of beautiful designs and free, fresh styles, and the place is beautiful, and Dave Nestor's our guy, and I've been in this place a bunch. I took my grandson in. You're starting baseball already, too. Those kids are playing ball. Urban Lights, he went, wow, man. I said, yeah, this place is way cool. The roof and the sides and everything is just all lit up. Innovation, shapes, designs, technology. It's the best. You got to check it out. It really is a great experience. And, of course, weather's not that great this weekend. Saturday, rain, snow. It's a good day to shop. Check them out. Really fun experience. Urban Lights is locally owned. You're going to love working with the design experts who guide you through the unique shopping experiences, like buying a piece of art. You find lower prices online. They'll match it. Take it from me. They are the best. You'll find them at just, they're south of I-25 on Santa Fe, between Florida and Mississippi. South of I-25 on Santa Fe, between Florida and Mississippi. Online, UrbanLightsDenver.com. 7 days a week. Tell them I sent you on the job, and they knock another 10% off. It is stunning. I mean, it's just an amazing place, and they're good folks, and they're not just sales guys, man. They're like designers, experts, and bring genuine value to any space. They're Urban Lights, UrbanLightsDenver.com, UrbanLightsDenver.com, UrbanLightsDenver.com. I was at a get-together last night over this new book, The Holly, and so many great people were there, including Patricia Calhoun from Westward. And this book is going to be a home run. I think we can get the author of the book in studio next week or by phone next week, even though the book is not dropped. The book drops May the 11th. But write it down. Think it through. The book is entitled The Holly, about the Holly Shopping Center. So watching Fox News this morning, and they're putting people up there, why we should not leave Iraq or Iraq, Afghanistan. How do you get in there? What was the mission? I love Joe Biden declaring that it's time to end the forever war. Historians now call these generational wars. And the main mission of doing what? Well, there was a lie. How do you accomplish a lie? Well, I guess you twist the truth so many different ways that it no longer matters. But what do you think this morning? I mean, it's amazing when you think about people who have changed their minds. And again, remembering how talk radio went back then. And knowing full well that these were lies. And it didn't matter. And there's another big fat issue that we do the same thing with these days. It doesn't matter. I will believe the lie. And now we watch this country, and I truly do believe this. I truly do believe that if you look at these historic models of how nation states come apart and how empires fail, we're doing it. We're absolutely doing it. And if you read Gibbon and how Rome comes apart, or just read the history of Imperial Britain, or read the history of what happened to Soviets, or the Japanese, or I'll give you, the list is endless. The Spaniards, the Portuguese. Empires rise and empires fall. And it is the same thing I think we're watching now, because now it's internal. Now we are internal. Now these things have come internally. And watching what's happening in Minnesota and watching what's happening in Portland and Seattle, and It comes to a crescendo. I mean, I was revisiting Barbara Tuchman, who I love as a historian, and two powerful books, March to Folly and The Guns of August. And she's telling the truth. The March to Folly. And this is a march to folly. How many of you people actually believe that Biden is even saying these things at this point? And everybody that I respect, moments to me, we've had Furnish on the show this morning, Robert Spencer, Joel Gilbert. I don't know how many people have actually believed it. These are even his own thoughts. That's even more. He's like Claudius or something, like I, Claudius. And we're watching this thing come apart. Okay, here we go. On Thursday morning, we start with Ken. Hey, Ken, you're on a radio show. Good morning and thank you.
Well, good morning. I think them pulling out on September 11th is like a significant, it's almost like the U.S. surrendering to the world global elites on the deck during the, like the Japanese did in World War II.
No, I just think it's on. Why would he pick the day? We must
It's a terrible day.
Well, we must get away from all of these lies and the 20 years of insanity in Iraq and Afghanistan. But to choose that day,
yes,
September the 11th.
And it's just like in Vietnam, all those years with no clear mission.
Well, that's just it. And the same thing is true.
You can't win if you don't have a mission.
No, you have to have a war aim, A-I-M. Historians who say Mr. Lincoln's aim of the Civil War was not to end slavery, but to keep the Union together. FDR's war aim, his war aim was to defeat the Axis. Unconditional surrender of the Axis. Difficult to do, but easily stated.
Yeah, just going back into the Iran deal and, you know, it's just like we're absolutely last on the world stage as far as dignity and character and what we believe in and what our mission is.
But that's part of downfall.
Yes, and that's exactly right. I love that point about, you know, we're in a downward spiral. Mm-hmm. And like you, I don't see any way out of it.
No.
And good talking to you, Peter.
You too, man. Thank you. 303-696-1971. Someone's asking about Saddam had no WMDs. Why do you continue to want to believe this is beyond me? There were no WMDs. Read Robert Draper's there's a book that came on the market about a year ago. Draper's been on the show with us. It's entitled The Start of War, how the Bush administration took the United States into Iraq. And well put together history and all the new declassified documents and tracking down these unavailable CIA defense officials. And they flesh out these stories of the run-up to the March 20, 2003 invasion, start of a war. 2 decades. There's nothing. It's a great sadness. But much like the Trump steal, you have to continue this belief to make it right in your head. Let it go. Let it go. There people call just cause. There's no just cause. They lied. They invented things. The Egyptians beat people into telling them things that they took these Egyptian black, they're called black prisons, and they beat people. One of the worst things that ever happened was this guy called Curveball. Remember Curveball? You heard the stories. So Ahmad Chalabi has this Iraqi defector called Curveball. I've read about him dozens of times. Number one, he's a convicted sex offender. And he became the sole source for the Bush-Cheney case that Saddam had WMDs. And remember those things they called mobile weapons labs? He was the guy that came up with that. He goes into Munich, Germany, seeking a German visa. The Germans say, look, this guy's, the French say, look, this guy, the U.S. agents, the CIA never debriefs Curveball. The French have nothing to do. They go, no, please don't, but they don't even do a background check. Nonetheless, Defense Intelligence Agency, the DIA and the CIA, they take all of this so-called intelligence and they run it up, and this is music to the ears of the Bushies. All right, we'll go to Mike. Mike, you're on a radio show. Good morning. Thank you.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, man.
Thanks for having me on. Hey, here's my question. The progressive left has won in America. When is the right going to realize that they have lost and decide to negotiate a peace somehow? Because they've obviously lost.
Well, they certainly have lost, but is it a temporary loss or a permanent loss?
It's permanent because it's cultural. It's based on values. And when you base your behavior on values, you're not going back. Everything you believe is based on your values. And everything is different between the right and the left.
But
so
again, I like
how
what
you negotiate a peace.
You know, there is no peace. I mean, there is no peace. They just want the social justice left only wants more.
Then if there's no peace, you know what the final ultimatum is. There's separation, just like Yugoslavia, just like other countries in the past. What timeline are we looking at for a separation?
But look what happened in Yugoslavia.
I'm sorry?
Look what happened in Yugoslavia.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You had a values differentiation, and you have separation.
Well, you had a strong man. I mean, Tito. Tito, he kept his thumb down on everybody. When he died, it blew.
What do you think the timeline is between the separation?
I don't know. And if that begins to happen, then we go back to Mr. Lincoln. I think things have become close to that serious. I mean, I'm watching this insanity. And again, I'm a pessimist. But history teaches pessimism.
I think you're a realist. Everybody's seeing it, and I just can't believe.
Did I lose your call?
War already.
Well, we are at war. I mean, there's a cultural war. There's a media war. There are now wars in the streets in this country. It doesn't go to a good place, Mike. It really doesn't.
No, you never find help. It's like an addict. Until you admit that you've lost, you admit your mistakes, you're not going to be able to regain your health, and you're not going to be able to progress forward.
But remember, the people on the left believe they are right. They believe that what they are saying is what we need to have happen. I need to take away your guns. I need to understand that you can't read these things, and you can't eat these things, and you can't watch these things, and you can't do these things because they're not good for you. And I'm making that decision.
Well, think about this. If the separation comes and you divide up the states.
I lost your call, man.
China moves in, and then you have a whole different kind of amalgamation.
Again, it won't happen that way. That's Gibbon's lesson of the decline and fall. There's nobody comes and invades. It just destroys itself. I got a jumper coming back with an update from Alpine. Michael Roberts about Channel 9 coming up on 710 KNUS.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt. Join me at 9 right after Pete on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Thursday morning again. Looks like Lake Erie out there. April the 15th. Really used to be tax day, and now it's moved. 2021. Rain, storms, and things turn around, and we got wet snow tomorrow. And Amy's on the line from Alpine. If you're doing a show tomorrow, it'd be nice. Jimmy's got the con tomorrow. I'm skiing. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Pete. And you go up and shred it. Go up and enjoy, sir. So.
maybe one more after this. We'll see. But
It's coming. I took my little one skiing about a month ago, and you know, her first day's in, and I sent Brian and Gabe a picture, and they responded, "Shredder." Ah. I was like, "Well, not quite, but it was good." So
it'll be good.
Anyway, fabulous. So let's take a look at these numbers here on this wintry day. We've got the Dow Jones up 235. The S&P is also positive, up 28. NASDAQ, big gains, up 144 points, up 1% already to start the Thursday. Earnings are kind of the story of the next few weeks. As you can imagine, Pepsi, BlackRock, Delta, just to name a few, will report today. Yesterday, we saw really strong earnings from J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs. And then, of course, Tom was talking about during the news break, the retail sales and how they just surged in March. So that's a testament, I think, to the optimism and the confidence of the U.S. consumer. We've oftentimes said that the U.S. consumer is the eighth wonder of the world. You really, truly can drive an economy and continue to move markets when people are purchasing and feeling optimistic. So at this point in time, Pete, I think it's a good gut check. It is easy to have greed kick in when you're seeing strong numbers like this. And also, of course, the enormous recovery that we saw from a year ago today. As always, make sure you're ready for ups, for downs. Talk through it with your advisor. You've heard Brian and Gabe and I all say we plan through it all. So if anyone has some questions, give us a ring and we'll see if we can help.
303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Investing is a matter of trust. This is a good economy moving around, but you need somebody looking over your shoulder. Amy, thanks. We'll do it again. I'll see you first part of the week.
You got it. Thanks, Pete.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
All right, Michael Roberts from Westford. Here's the headline. Nine News parent company accused of racist behavior in federal filing. We go to the phones. Bob, you're on a radio show, man. You waited, and thank you.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
I just can't believe the empty symbolism from the Biden administration. I don't even know why they're mentioning 9/11. One thing didn't have to do with the other.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I mean, that's great minds thinking alike. Why?
It reminds me of, like, the Hope and Change cell job. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing changed. You know, it was empty, you know, false hopes. Yeah, yeah. You know, I just didn't get it.
Slogans. Well, this is also called, they were called jingoists back when TR, and, you know, the jingoism of foreign policy. This one is bizarre.
Well, you know, it's, I just wanted, you know, speaking of weird definitions, you know, with the Clintons, there's another word for what they were doing. That was influence peddling when they got rich.
Of course. They're grifters.
That was it, influence peddling.
Yeah,
so
they grifted the country. They're grifters. They're not cons. They're grifters.
Yeah, and they're rich, you know. It's like they garner the respect of everyone else, you know, because they did that, you know.
I was in Haiti after the quake. Kenny Danian and I went to Haiti, and when we were there, remember Hugh Rodham, her brother. She had that big fat brother. I think he died, and he got the gold mines. He got the gold mine. I don't know if there's a gold mine in Haiti, but he had it, and it was like, how'd you pull that off, man? How'd you get the gold mine? But he did.
Mining is something that is often overlooked. You know, I mean. If it is lithium in Afghanistan, it's a bunch of mining companies and a bunch of other people from here that they're all protecting over there.
It's multinationals. It's
mining.
Multinational corporations, oil firms. It's all the same. It's, you know, it's like this idea that there was something called the Banana Wars. And that's where. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of great stories about the Banana Wars.
And there Smedley was Butler.
There you go. Smedley Butler said it. And that's actually where Chesty Puller makes his bones, is going there. And they actually controlled, and they still tried to control Central America in the 60s and up until Ronald Reagan. And they said, no, these are our bananas. No, they're not. They're Honduran or they're Guatemalans. No, they're ours. No, they're not. And
the Venezuelan oil is another
same
example.
Thing. And it's not your oil.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The multinationals don't seem to owe any allegiance to the United States.
They owe none. They fly no flag. If they fly a flag, it's a dollar bill or a ruble or a pound or, you know, no, multinationals are, and they run U.S. foreign policy. You know, that's why we do what we do, is the multinational corporations. And they'll cut the throat of this country so quick. I got to jump, man. We come back with the one and only Michael Roberts from Westward. And this is a great Stephen Tubbs story. Channel 9 in the internals, Michael Roberts. And then I got tomorrow off. It'll be a ski day. Gary DeFrange and I, one more time at Winter Park. And it looks great. It's snowing up there now. And be back on Monday. Jimmy's got the con tomorrow. Stay back, everybody. Here we go again. Channel 9 coming up. The one and only Michael Roberts. Hold on.